Welcome to the Everything Coworking Podcast, where you learn what you need to know about how the world wants to work. And now your host, coworking space owner and trend expert, Jamie Russo.
Thanks for joining me today. I'm so excited to be here with Wendy Spreenberg. She is just a phenom in the industry. She has been around for a while, but is doing tons of innovative work, and I'm super excited about our conversation. So she's the founder and president of Site Resolutions, which is a Chicago-based commercial real estate firm, and she's also the founder of Yes, Your Exceptional Space, which is a strategic partner in the development of innovative and collaborative workspaces. So she kind of uniquely goes at both sides of shared workspace. She can help you find space, sell a workspace, negotiate leases, and then she can help you with the strategic and operational aspects of getting a space off the ground. So she does a little bit of everything, and she's really a recognized thought leader in the workspace, shared workspace industry. She's been a speaker at GWA, NeoCon, NBIA. Like I mentioned, has been on the front lines in directly managing multiple business center operations over the year. So she's a real go-to woman in the shared workspace advisory service world. So I'm excited to have her on the phone today. Wendy is joining me from Chicago. Wendy, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great, and I'm humbled by your introduction, so thank you so much.
Yeah, isn't it funny when we hear our bios, we're like, is that me? It sounds so fancy, but it's totally you. Yeah. You know, Wendy does a lot of work with new spaces, and there are so many new spaces launching. Steve King from Emergent Research just posted yesterday a response to some feedback he'd gotten from his latest co-working forecast, and he did an exercise on Google and found 62 new spaces had launched in the last week in US and Canada. So the number of new spaces going up is just crazy time. So Wendy does a lot of work with helping people get their spaces off the ground, but she's also been in the industry for a long time and has been a part of kind of the more traditional shared service office industry. So I just wanted to get her perspective on kind of the industry today. And if you have been operating in this space for a while and are sort of trying to figure out what's next for you, or what do you need to, you know, innovate or adapt to, how do you kind of think about that? So she and I thought we would do kind of a SWOT analysis if you're an existing operator and you're sort of reflecting a little bit on your business. So SWOT is strengths, weaknesses, opportunities, and threats. So we'll start with strengths. What are the biggest strengths of experienced operators from your perspective?
Jamie, my feeling is that they seem to have a longer view and a bigger picture because, of course, they've had longer term experience in the industry typically, because they've been through maybe multiple pre-2008 cycles. So they have seen the expansion, contraction of the industry as a whole. And so they have that longer term view. They also know how to generate profit. And I don't mean that disparagingly against co-working, but there's the thought about new members to the co-working world in collaborative workspace that it's really, we're looking for investors. Awesome. And there's still this language around needing to generate profit to be giving value back to those stakeholders. Another thought I have is that over time, they've had a very thoughtful response to change in the workplace and in their own configuration. Meaning they've responded clearly to all the changes in IT that we're all going through and that we all in this industry have to stay maybe leading edge, but not bleeding edge, which has allowed them to respond to the staffing question by being much leaner. So what used to be, you know, that 4-5 person staff is now perhaps 1.5 humans, which is remarkable. And as long as the experience is still valuable to the end user, that's a brilliant decision. I also think over time they know what has worked in their market based on the data from user experience. So space size, the overall square footage, they've understood how the configuration works, and some of them I think are responding perhaps to the changes in the workforce and what the new workforce demands. But they also understand very highly location and the type of amenities that work for their current users. And I also think then finally, another strength, which is really interesting and it seems counterintuitive, is that they have lower marketing costs overall based on the longevity and the network and location awareness of their property. And that's a challenge always for new entrants into the market, no matter if you're a veteran in the industry but are starting something brand new. It's really that getting the community and the demographic to understand, hey, we're here. So it takes a while to get that awareness created.
I love this list. Starting with strengths is such a feel-good way to kick off, because I think there are folks who've been in the industry for a while and looking at all of the changes and evolution and the new entrants, and, you know, it can make one a little bit nervous. But this is such a good list of position of strength. They have a lot to draw from and a lot of wisdom and strategic thinking and experience, to your point, weathering the downturns and knowing how and when to sign leases, and all of those things can really drive towards success. You know, on the flip side of that, if we're trying to be kind of do some critical thinking, what are some weaknesses that they should watch out for sort of internally as the, you know, as the market dynamics are shifting?
Well, I think they've been, depending on their personal perspective, it's either responsive or reactive. And so clearly we want to get to the responsive stage as opposed to the reactive stage. So it's really, how should they synthesize their experience into the next wave of change? So in response versus reaction, the potential weaknesses are, you know, updating your software tools. It'll create even greater efficiencies. You can spend more time on community building and sustainable efforts within the community and creating a better network among your members. So sometimes in this more traditional phase, there has been more, okay, closed doors, heads down, people getting work done. There's a softening of that approach that I think would help established centers and spaces go after. And there's also this potential knee-jerk reaction to either no change, because there's no value in changing and there's no belief in a new model, or too much change too soon. So yeah, it becomes dramatic and really gets away from their initial vision of who they are and what their strengths are.
Yeah.
So I think it's twofold. And I think finally, avoid believing that there has to be a me too approach. Stay true to those core principles. Your vision can change, clearly, but it's not just simply, well, we're going to take down some walls and put up a co-working lounge. So it has to be very thoughtful change. And how is your own, the demographic and the citizenship, if you will, the members in your own space. And we're changing from that terminology from client to member, because mm-hmm. I think that speaks really loudly to the intention of where the workforce is going. They want to belong. It's not a hands off or arm's length distance among users anymore. There really is that establishment of community, but it can't be forced. So be aware of what your true core values are, and please don't be that reactionary operator that feels like we need to do this immediately or this is the path we need to go down. So that's just my perspective on how I've seen response to the bigger vision as a whole.
Yeah, again, you make several great points. And I think if you get your strengths down and you feel like they're really true, then you can be appropriately responsive, because, you know, I think the Me Too piece is really tempting. It's so tempting when you run a business to look at what everyone else is doing. And I had a coach once who was like, don't watch someone else's movie, watch your own movie, you know?
Perfect.
Yeah, it's a good analogy, because it's too, oh, and this week I actually saw somebody posted on Facebook this, I'm sure probably everybody besides me had already seen it, but this image of Michael Phelps swimming against a competitor, and Michael was looking straight ahead and his competitor was looking at him.
Uh-huh.
You know, whatever the caption was about, like, winners, you know, look within themselves and, you know, competitors look at their competitor kind of thing. And I just thought, what a great message. And it's so hard to remember when you're feeling stressed about change and, you know, worrying about, you know, sort of where you fit and trying to be true to what you do. So it's like being open to improving yourself and kind of looking at what's right for your membership, your customers, but not doing anything too dramatic just because the guy next to you is doing it.
Yeah. And it's not a 180 degree change. Yeah. It's more like a pivot.
Yeah.
Right. Pivot your perspective to allow that, I think, to some degree to happen organically. Right. So in your market, your market's going to be changing. We've all tried to be responsive in the past. And IT is a perfect example. we all went from, well, I'll speak for myself, excuse me. We went from, you know, the advent of the internet to now the mobile phone and all of those technologies that we've had to respond to this industry. It's just a response similarly to that.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Adjust and always remember, you know, your membership best and make decisions based off of that. So the industry is changing, which can be scary, but there are also a lot of opportunities in the industry right now. From your perspective, since you're seeing, I mean, you've been in the industry for a long time and then you're seeing a lot of, you know, new operators coming into the space. What do you think are the greatest opportunities?
Well, I'm excited about the opportunities. That's why I love having this conversation, because I've had to change my perspective and how I approach giving, you know, best practices, because clearly best practices have changed over the life of my business. So I think the beautiful thing, again, whatever your feelings about WeWork, thank you, because it's created a huge amount of consumer awareness in this space, and no pun intended, but in this area of workspace configuration. And so I think it's created, you know, higher tides lift all boats. So it's created greater consumer awareness and demand, and that's by both startups, clearly the startup world, but also corporates want to get involved. They want the people in their corporations to be at a co-working space, to get that vibe and that energy and that creative juices flowing. And so there's more openness by corporate America to say, yeah, work where and when you want, because it drives productivity. And in the end, that's what corporate America wants. It's all about the end result and the productivity as opposed to FaceTime and we're in the office. In addition, that leads to an excitement in the marketplace for more investor dollars available. So we all have heard about WeWork's valuation, but it's true for others. So those who want to compete in this marketplace, so it's both an opportunity for existing operators to find investor dollars for expansion, not just acquisition. If you're ready to sell because you're at that point in your career life cycle that you want to go on and do something else or something different, acquisition is one path, but expansion with those investment dollars, I think, is really encouraging. So to say that that's a possibility, and here's how I look at it in some fashion, is to develop a second brand. So again, staying true to yourself, and if you're in the more traditional, very much demised space, but you want to get into this new pro-working or hybrid type of space, you might create a second brand. And that way, maybe where investor dollars come in, and I've seen that being a path too that existing operators are taking, is that it's a second brand. So it's really exciting times, I think.
Yeah, I think so too. So we get phone calls from investors who want to put money into the industry and are looking for the right operators. And, you know, the few conversations that I've had, they're really looking for experienced operators. So the folks who are just really new to the scene don't fit that bill. And so I think, to your point, more experienced operators who, you know, have a proven track record, maybe they've operated in a couple of markets, even if they were to kind of go out after a second brand with expansion opportunities, you know, they may be a better fit for those investment dollars than some of the totally new operators who are still kind of figuring things out and building a brand and marketing plan and all those things. So
yeah, I
think you're totally right. And then the corporate piece too, I think corporations are, it's starting to pick up, but I think they also may be comfortable with, you know, more, who knows, we may see them just kind of give out stipends and let people go where they want to go. But if they're creating relationships with spaces, then they may be more comfortable, you know, at the outset, establishing relationships with companies that have been around for a while. So I think that can be another opportunity for folks that have been doing this for some time.
Exactly.
And then again, I hate to use this word, but it's part of the SWOT analysis, is the threat side of it. So how do we think about, in a healthy way, you know, what's kind of going on in the marketplace that we might want to think of that might be a threat to our business if we're not appropriately responsive, as you put it?
I see across the landscape, really both the larger players that we've talked about and even rebranding just on a regional basis, but on a global basis, they have a big vision. And so as an example, we were in discussion with a group from India that wanted us to help them establish their presence in India. It was not appropriate timing, and we are not culturally adept at that marketplace. But now this group has delivered proof of concept in their home country, and they want to bring it to the US in a big way. Mm. So it's not just, you know, someone who is homegrown. These are global players who want to enter the US market. And so for those of us who've been through this, it's Regis entering the US market back in 1998. So look what happened as a result. Now, Regis is, you know, a very, very big player, but I think there'll be consolidation again. So clearly, those of us who've been through the expansion, consolidation, retraction, and then growth period again, I think we're poised to see this again. And it may not be on the immediate landscape of in terms of acquisition, but I think we're in an expansion mode really for the next 5 years. I see it as being really the trend before we wind up hitting another bump of potential consolidation. I also think that there, to our discussion earlier, better technology, better amenities, not just in the building per se, but within the space and or the types of amenities that are being offered. And just one silly example, it seems silly, but it could be very significant, is can you literally offer a relationship with a dry cleaner? Mm-hmm. For those people who are really traveling, who are very, very mobile, it's just one tiny amenity, but it could be a significant amenity. And not everybody thinks about that. And it also clearly depends on where you are in the marketplace, whether you're urban, suburban, or much more remote. And then I think, to your point, I think what we were talking about before in terms of not being reactionary, but responsive, there is a new type of workspace that is definitely more open plan, much more contemporary in design and aesthetic. They're really responsive to having events and creating all of those types of programs that will involve the networking and establishment of relationships and building community within the membership. So the threats are, if you're not really looking in that direction for building that, and you've always been comfortable with, you know, we just operate this and our doors are closed and we give this amazing service, that's not good enough anymore. So the bigger vision, walking outside of yourself and seeing not just what competitors are doing, but really it's a hospitality play now. We really have to embrace that. If we say that that's what we do, that we're not a real estate function, we're a hospitality function, that's what we need to live by. And so I think that's a potential threat if we're not really true to that part of our messaging that we've talked about from the beginning.
Yep, that makes a lot of sense. And what I love about some of these opportunities that you pointed out is that they're totally solvable. Like the amenity example is a great one, because I think, you know, some of the newer spaces look really sort of sexy and can be intimidating in terms of what they're doing. But in real life, we talk about workspace as a service. And I think that's one of the big trends that we're going to see coming back, is that people want a workspace that solves more problems than just work, right? So your dry cleaning example is a great one. It's like it's a really traditional problem to have to solve. But it's like, well, how can you make it easier? And right, if you can just get dry cleaning at work. And, you know, corporate campuses offer that benefit. It's very common. But a shared workspace, yeah, you don't see it very often, but it could be a huge deal. So there are simple things that you can do that I think makes a lot of sense. And then, you know, in terms of the programming thoughts, I think that's definitely a mindset shift, and also probably looking to a future demographic, right? Do you have any sort of shifting mindset of the millennials, that because millennials are 33 now, so they're going to start to be, you know, a bigger user of shared space?
I think too, while I know that there are co-working spaces who are trying to incorporate daycare as part of the amenity, one thing I can just share, I think that's a challenge because I personally don't know enough about licensure and the requirements. But I think if you have really good proximity from a location standpoint for those millennials, they're going to be getting into the family wave pretty soon.
Yeah.
So the ability to be close to the amenities that are more meaningful to them as they approach that midlife, and I know 33 is not midlife, but as they approach that whole family event cycle, I think daycare is going to be huge. I think access to quick or easy, you know, immediate health care, especially as it revolves around child care, or even if they're caught in the middle, again, that sandwich generation eventually taking care of parents. So any type of support system for family would be great. So location awareness for those amenities would be helpful if you're not combining those amenities. But also, I think wellness is a huge topic for this generation, much more so in the workplace, of what type of furnishings you have. Mm-hmm. Do you have very ergonomic settings of not just the chair, which we've thought about for such a long time, but posture? So those are the types of things that can be incorporated very easily into an existing space. So maybe there are, you know, high top tables in common areas, or there's a conference room that now has a stand-up type of approach as opposed to, you know, the traditional posture at a big conference table. Also, wellness programs within the space. Clearly, we think of yoga, but how about being creative by bringing someone in who can talk about juicing or nutrition and have an event, a lunch and learn around that? And that particular lunch and learn talks about the nutrition and brings in samples of, you know, good eating habits and recipes and things that you can do very easily. And pull from those local providers of those services, because I think, again, that speaks to, we really want to build community. And part of building community is drawing those people in who may serve our population within the membership, but that are outside our doors. So all of those, I think, are very important amenities to consider around wellness, around childcare, and then how their lives are changing as well.
Yeah, I think that makes a ton of sense. Great perspective. So if an operator is kind of think, you know, wants to kind of assess their position and start to get into that responsive mindset, how do you recommend they go about that? Sort of if they want to do it themselves or if they want some extra help, and what does your process, you know, kind of typically look like?
Well, we would certainly love to help, but one of the biggest things and the initial points is to really sit down and assess, again, sort of the SWOT analysis for yourself as an operator, and say, do I fit where I fit even 5 years ago? Mm-hmm. Am I still relevant? And in your marketplace, if you feel like you're losing market share or you're not relevant to a certain demographic that's growing in your market, that may be a really good place to start, is just assess those pieces within your own operation currently. And then we would be delighted to talk with you and go through an assessment process of where you are now and where you want to go, and talk with you a little bit about what we see in addition to and beyond what we've talked about today. And so what we do is we work project by project, or even, you know, teleconsulting. So it doesn't have to be a big endeavor. It could just be a touch point of, am I doing the right things? Am I in the right spot? And when I'm ready to take that leap, I can talk to Wendy and I can talk to Yes and find out what the next steps really should be for me in my process.
Yeah, Steve, I always refer to Steve King. He does a lot of great work in this space. He posted kind of a total unrelated to co-working, but a blog post the other day about some research they'd done around small businesses using business coaches, which he said in his article he was really surprised by. He didn't, you know, really know this was going on so much. And he said, you know, the small businesses were sort of surprised that he was surprised. But his findings were that small businesses who are successful tend to have outside help, and that the world is moving so fast now that it's hard to sort of learn by doing and figure everything out yourself.
Right.
So it can be so helpful just to get another perspective and have someone give you a framework to use to work through, you know, whatever you're trying to accomplish. So I think it's always good to just get in our pre-chat, more brains are always better than one. So
that's right. Well, and part of the excitement and why we've been at this, we joke about it only took us 15 years to become an overnight sensation. Right. Is that we learn so much from our clients, and every project has its own specific dynamics mm-hmm. that require us to pivot as well as to how those best practices are deployed. So we learn from each customized program that we put together for the clients that we work with. And that's why it's so much fun, so stimulating, and we'll continue to learn as long as we do this work. it's exciting. It's an exciting time.
It is. And I think, you know, it can be a little bit intimidating, but if you can embrace the change, there are a lot of reasons to be really energized and excited right now. And if you're feeling like you need some help with that piece of it, then definitely reach out to someone else. It could be another operator, or it could be a Wendy or other resources, but there's so much going on and so much opportunity right now. So Wendy, if we want to find you, website is siteresolutions.com. Twitter is @siteresolutions or @WendySpreenberg. Any other resources we should know about?
I know that I can lead you to additional resources. I would love to have you give me a call if you just want to chat. You can reach me at 312-608-1859 and Wendy@siteresolutions.com.
I love it. And I will include links to Wendy's contact info in the show notes, which will be at everythingcoworking.com. So if you're driving in your car, you don't have to scribble down the phone number. I love that you provided a phone number. So it's like refreshing. It's like, oh, right, you could just call her. So we'll include all of that so you can have access to it. So Wendy, thank you so much for sharing your time and your perspective, because to your point, you've seen a lot and have a lot of wisdom and perspective based on your experience. So I appreciate you taking the time to share that with us today.
Oh gosh, Jamie, thank you. It's been such a pleasure to join you today. I appreciate it.
Perfect. Well, we look forward to next time and enjoy the rest of your hot and humid day in Chicago.
Thank you.
Bye.
Thanks for joining us on this episode of Everything Coworking. Be sure to click the subscribe button so you can stay up to date on the latest trends and how-tos. Until next time.